Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure to welcome Chuck Tanner to the podcast. Welcome, Chuck.
Thanks. I appreciate your time.
So, Chuck, you are with SEPCO. Now, they specialize in sealing systems for pumps, valves, and a variety of other things. And you've been with them for about 24 years now, focusing heavily on the pulp and paper industry. Very brief introduction, but what else can you tell us about yourself?
I've worked for several competitors in the past. In the industry, I've had about 35 years total experience in the industry. And I've had the pleasure of traveling all over the country and seeing all sorts of different industries through my work career, not just pulp and paper, but I've basically focused most of my time in the pulp and paper industry.
Excellent. And now, what is SEPCO for those that may not be familiar with SEPCO?
SEPCO is officially known as Sealing Equipment Products Company, and we are a manufacturer of course, braided packings. We're one of the largest braiders of braided packing in North America. We have we manufacture mechanical seals. We manufacture several other type products. We make bearing isolator technology that's a non-contacting bearing isolator technology. And we have delved into air sealing technology is one of the new technologies we've endeavored into that we've been real successful with. Some of the other things we do, we're active in some aerospace industries. We make some fire sleeving for hoses and industrial cabling, and we have some secondary yarn manufacturing operations that we're pretty well vertically integrated in a lot of our braiding capacity. And so we make lots of different precursor products to our finished products here in-house.
Excellent. Now, you mentioned a variety of different seal types, and that's what we're going to talk about today is the different seal types and how to pick the right one. Because to be honest, like you mentioned, there's air sealing that's newer technology. There's mechanical seals. There's, you know, all these different kinds, but we want to make sure we are able to select and pick the right one. So what, in your words, is a seal?
A seal is any device that is used to either contain process fluids or to keep environmental fluids and process fluids from contamination into oils and bearing housings and gearboxes and that sort of thing in industry. So you not only want to contain fluids, but you also want to keep some fluids out of some areas.
Excellent. Now, what are the different types of seals that are available to us? I know you mentioned mechanical and air. What are the others, and what's the difference between them?
Well, first of all, you've got braided packings, which are probably the most common and still the most common used method of sealing today. When you sit back and you think about different products and things that are sealed, all the valves have braided packing in them. There's a lot of rotating equipment still has braided packing in them. We even make packing that goes in gas nozzles where you pump your fuel every day. The next most common method of sealing would be mechanical seals. And mechanical seals are used in the petrochemical and refining and in applications where you want to contain products for environmental concerns, housekeeping concerns, and contain products that have, and protect products that have a high process cost that you can't afford to lose those products. And then, of course, the other sealing is the air sealing technology, where we're using some air pads and some throttles and different things in containing powders and some high specific gravity products in equipment through using air sealing. Then we also are involved in sealing bearing housings and keeping contaminants out of bearing housings to extend bearing life and process equipment life.
Excellent. So there's four main types there, and you explain the differences between them. But what are the advantages and disadvantages of each? So let's take the traditional packing. What is the advantage and disadvantage to that?
The advantage to braided packing over mechanical seals is that, you know, one of the things that happens in industry is you really have to find the lowest, most cost-effective sealing solution for the applications. And that's where you're making choices between packing and mechanical seals. And it's very easy to get caught up in the misuse of mechanical seals. So let's talk about packing, which is probably the lowest cost, most cost-effective method of sealing a rotating shaft or a valve. The disadvantage of that product is you get, when you flush that product, you get product dilution, or which you have to decide whether you can tolerate the product dilution or the product loss. That is the main difference between packing and mechanical seals. Mechanical seals are a positive seal that we use two precision rotating faces that are precision lapped that actually contain and hold the process fluid and keeping it from leaking to the atmosphere. So that's the two main choices to seal a piece of rotating equipment outside of the air seal technology, which is a new technology. But the user has to really make a choice between what's the most reliable and the most cost-effective method to seal those applications for his process.
All right. So why would one choose mechanical then over to the traditional packing if it's more expensive? Does it give us that added reliability? Does it provide better sealing?
Well, that's one of the problems with mechanical seals is, yes, they are sold on the basis of increased reliability, less product loss, less housekeeping and maintenance. But then you've got to set back and you've got to look at the return on investments of those products. I'm a big advocate of reviewing the return on investment to make sure that you are getting the value out of those upgrades. That's one of the problems that you'll see that's in industry is you'll see people, for instance, put mechanical seals on water pumps. Well, how are you going to pay for it? What's the return on investment for converting that seal to that pack pump to a mechanical seal? So that's one of the things that I advocate is we go back to the basics and we decide whether that is the most cost effective and gives you the best return on investment for that application. Now, mechanical seals, yes, they do run leak free. And if you can get one to run, you know, your 4 or 5 years replacement life, that probably is the most cost effective method of sealing that particular application. But then again, you know, you have to understand that if you're getting 24, 36 months out of a set of packing and you're not replacing rotating assemblies, because you have to remember every time you replace a mechanical seal, in most cases, most plants replace a total rotating assembly. And some of the studies I've seen that the cost on replacing, you know, a standard ANSI size rotating assembly is about $25,000. So there again, you've got to be looking at the relational cost to making those conversions.
Absolutely. That return on investment is critical. So when we're looking at what seal we're going to pick, we're going to look at, you know, the initial cost of it. What's the life cycle cost of it? How often do we have to replace it? What's the cost of doing that? What else should we consider aside from the cost when we look at picking the correct seal type for our pumps?
The other thing that is real crucial to making seals last in rotating equipment is to make sure that you have the correct sources for environmental controls. So make sure you get the right seal setup, right seal flush plans for those applications, and to make sure that you have the infrastructure there to do that, to make sure you've got seal water, or to make sure that you have air there to run seal pots, all these extra external controls it takes to make a seal run and make them run reliably. You got to make sure all that stuff's there. And that's one of the big factors that affects mechanical seals. Everybody's mechanical seals pretty much are the same technology. It's what you do with them and how you apply them that gets you the maximum seal life.
All right. Excellent. So why would organizations consider moving from your typical packing or mechanical seal to this air seal technology, or even drive the change from a packing to a mechanical seal?
The air seal technology is, of course, it's a fairly new technology, and the limitations of packing and mechanical seals the packing are affected by shaft radial movement and shaft axial movement. Packing, if you get a large shaft radial movement, you're going to actually open up a clearance in the packing because you can't keep a constant gland load on that to keep that packing compressed to keep it contact with that shaft. So you're going to open clearances up in the packing when the shaft rotates. Mechanical seals are limited in a lot of cases by spring limitations. Most manufacturers, standard mechanical seals. Now, there's some special things out there that people do with mechanical seals that will do a little better. But most the standard limitations on mechanical seals are limited by the radial clearance built into the seals. And the radial clearance is limited by how much clearance you have in the seal chamber of the stuffing box. The other limitation of mechanical seals that use multiple springs is those springs are limited on how much axial and radial movement those springs tolerate. And most standard manufacturer standard seals are limited to 3 to 5 thousandths axial movement, which when you get in some equipment, because there's vessels and things attached to it, they're not rigid. Some pieces of equipment, they're not capable of holding those kind of clearances. Now, air seal technology, uses basically a throttle system that creates a non-contacting air pad. And, the throttle systems, inside these housings actually will move radially around the housing and move with the shaft and maintain this air pad around the shaft. And we train the air to go certain directions within the seal. And it keeps the process fluids inside of the piece of equipment. But also, since it's not attached to the shaft can move through that air seal basically an unlimited distance. It makes no difference, because the air seal is basically floating on this air throttle, and you've got this air pad in between the rotating shaft and the throttle within the seal.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you're doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com. You know, we start with the packing. That's not going to work for whatever reason. Then we move to the mechanical, which gives us certain advantages. But then we go to the air seal, which gives us a lot of advantages, is that we're not impacted by any of that of that radial movement on the shaft, correct?
That's correct.
Excellent. So say an organization has installed a pump and they put a traditional packing seal on there. They've run this thing for a couple years. They've had problems with it. Even though that asset is installed, can they go ahead and change that to a mechanical or an air type seal?
Absolutely. Most most standard equipment that will take a mechanical seal or an air seal, as long as it has a stuffing box on it. Now, if you go from, if you're not, don't have a stuffing box and your piece of equipment is built up seal only, now you're limited, you know, as far as that, you've got to go to an air seal or go build a stuffing box that you can put packing on it. But pretty much if you build to some standards with a standard stuffing box, you can go from air seal to braided packing to mechanical seal and everything in between. So you have a lot of versatility with that.
Excellent. Now, when organizations are looking to make that change to go from, say, a traditional packing to a mechanical or an air seal, where can they turn for help in selecting what is the right seal or a type for their application?
In all cases, you know, of course, you turn to your local distribution, and we have a lot of trained people in the field that can handle these decision processes for you. And in a lot of cases, they get the manufacturers involved in these discussions with the user, and to help them make the right choice, to help them calculate the returns on investment. You know, we live in a world today that operating costs are, we live in a world market, and operating costs, you know, have to be contained, and to keep those costs down to where we can sell in a world market. So that's what we advocate. And, you know, it's basically, we want to not only look at the initial cost of the product, but the long-term operational cost and the return on investment long-term.
Yes, absolutely. Now, are there any other thoughts on selecting the right seal type that we didn't cover that you want to share with our listeners?
James, not really. I mean, you know, selection of the correct seal type, you know, you have to look at, you know, not only the application, but you have to look at the skill level, you know, in the plants, whether they can, you think they're capable of maintaining and servicing these devices in the plants. And we try to make it as simple as we can, and we do a lot of training for end users and teaching them how to operate it and why the products have to be ran that way and what all of these external devices are that for whether it's tanks or external flush water or external air supplies. And we try to be very, we try to do our due diligence to make sure that operations people understand what's going on with these products and how they work and how to properly operate them.
Excellent. Now, one question I do have is, does the RPM of the pump or device we're sealing, does that influence the type of seal we want to select? Are there limitations for, say, packing or mechanical or so on and so forth?
Of course, we have to take that in consideration. The braided packing, we look at the thermal conductivity of the yarns, and we want to use yarns in higher speed services that have good thermal conductivity. With mechanical seals, that has to do with a lot of engineering data when you get into higher speeds and higher pressures, because, you know, the more speed you got and the more pressures you operate under, the more face loading you have. If you get over 100 PSI for a stuffing box pressure for a mechanical seal, I would highly advise you that you get the manufacturer involved in those selections and make sure that you get a seal that's going to give you good longevity, because then you have to alter the face loading and things that has to be done from an engineering standpoint to make the seal have good life. It's very similar. Face loading on a seal is very similar to taking a pickup truck and filling the pickup truck with sand and driving it around and wonder why your tires wear out. That's the same way a seal is. The more loading you got on it, the more heat you're generating, the more face wear you're going to have. So you have to really be very careful in some of those higher pressure and higher temperature applications to make sure that you get the correct metallurgy for the holders and the correct face loading for those higher pressures. Air seal technology and those products, most of the air seal technology that we sell is used in lower pressure applications. They're not used in places where, you've got 100 PSI stuff in box. They're in places where you got 30, 40, 50 PSI stuff in box pressure. And those are non-contacting seals. So they're really not limited by speed, but most applications that you're going to see an air seal utilized are lower speed applications with products with a fairly decent viscosity and specific gravity.
All right. So not only do we have to worry about the RPM that the piece of equipment is turning at, we have to worry about the pressures. We also have to worry about that process fluid, the viscosities, the specific gravities. We have to worry about all those things because the more we load it, the more heat we're going to generate, the quicker we're either going to wear that packing out if we don't have the right material in there. Correct?
That's correct.
Excellent. Now, in your vast experience, what do you think makes the biggest difference in being successful with seals in an industrial setting? Is it the right design up front? Is it doing the proper maintenance? What is that makes the biggest difference from, those customers you have that you go see and they don't complain about seals? What separates them from the ones that do all the complaining about seals?
Well, the first thing you've got to do when you recommend seals is you've got to recommend the right product for the right application up front. Okay. Now comes the maintenance and the basic care of that product. The customers that we have the most success with as far as basic care is those that that advocate training of operations personnel. That's very critical as far as product life of any of these products. Unfortunately, operations personnel, they perform their tasks the way the guy before them taught them to perform their task. And unfortunately, a lot of them have never been exposed to sealing technology. They don't understand it. It's this thing that's put there in place for them to take care of. And it's real important that they understand the product. They understand what's going on with the product, understand the principles behind what we're doing with the product to achieve reliability in those applications. And we're really active in making sure those people understand, because we can put it in, but the basic care falls on operations, and it's critical they understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. How it's operated, the day-to-day maintenance, if you will, all those things definitely play a huge role. If it's operated consistently within operating parameters, you're going to have a much better longevity of that seal than if you're constantly ramping it up and down or overloading it or any of those other situations that we see in a lot of plants. Now, if you had a magic wand, what is the one thing you would change in how organizations select their seal types?
If I had a magic wand and had responsibility for helping them make those selections, in my opinion, I would do more due diligence is finding the most cost-effective, reliable solution for them. It's very easy for customers to get caught up in looking at shiny new things when old technology may suit them just fine and may be the most reliable cost-effective solution for the application. In my career, I've seen new technology abused and not be the most reliable solution and the most cost-effective solution for different services. So it's just real important. If I had a magic wand can make those decisions, I would want to see decisions based on returns on investment and what's the best solution for that application from a operational standpoint and from a cost standpoint.
Excellent. So sometimes that old technology is still the best technology, so don't ignore it. Like you said, based on the application, the economics, select the right one. Now, what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from our conversation on SEALs today?
James, I guess really that to understand that there's really no solution for operational abuses, for lack of maintenance abuses, for the seals and the stuffing box maintenance in their applications are the first signs of other things. If you put, whether it's operational issues or whether it's installation issues or poor maintenance issues, the seal is the weakest link in that process system. So if you've got problems there, before you reinstall a problem, let's find a solution to the problem.
Yeah, I think that's very good words of wisdom. Make sure if we have that problem, we understand what that problem is, what's the root cause. It might be changing the seal type, might be operating it within its operating parameters, those sorts of things. But let's understand it and not just put in a new seal and hope for the best. Well, Chuck, I want to thank you for your time today. But before we go, where can people find out more about you? Where can people find more about SEPCO? Where can they get in touch with you and SEPCO and so on and so forth?
They can get in touch with me at, of course, by email at Chuck T at SEPCOUSA.com, or they can call here at the office at 1-800-633-4770. And whether I'm here or somebody else, we have a staff of people here on site that will be more than happy to help, and we have a lot of experience.
Excellent. And do you guys have any resources that our listeners can access off the website or anything that explains the different seal types, benefits, applications for these different seal types, and so on and so forth?
Yeah, we have an application guide on our website that you can download and review. And if you have any questions about that or any comments, we welcome any questions and comments.
Excellent. Well, I will make sure to link to all those in the show notes, SEPCO's website, the application guide, your email, all those things. So anyone that wants to reach out and get in touch and learn more about the different sealing types and applications, they can reach out to you guys directly. Well, Chuck, I want to thank you once again for taking the time today to talk to us about sealing technologies. It's a basic piece, but it's overlooked. And we want to make sure that we can, like you said, get the maximum life, the most economic cost for our seals, regardless of which type it is. So thank you again.
Thanks, James. Appreciate your time.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.